This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Hello, friends. What? You okay?
It's a squeaky Monday.
It is a squeaky Monday.
You know, it's a little cloudy, and I think we were all a little extra happy about the sun yesterday. I did something I haven't done in 7 months. I just sat in the sun. Felt amazing. And now it's a little cloudy, so I feel a little bit sad. And here's the thing. I don't have seasonal affective.
I don't have that either.
I don't
have
it.
That's not a thing.
Yeah, I like. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a
not
thing.
Not for me.
But not for me. Yeah. I don't have it, but I will say I felt extra happy with the sun this weekend.
I will tell you something. This past weekend, up until yesterday, because it was too hot yesterday. 80s
no,
too hot.
It was not too. It
80s
was
too hot.
Not if you're sitting in the sun and you're swimmers.
Well, sure. If you're swimming, yeah. But it was confirmed for me that the perfect weather, the absolute perfect weather, is 60 degrees and sunny.
Do you 60. Think you like the show
because
Seinfeld
it happened?
Because you are Seinfeld or George? You're one of them. What? Where you get a perfect day and you're like, you know what, Jerry? Not great. A little too warm. It's the perfect day.
No, I just told you what the perfect day was. 60 and sunny. And we had it on Friday and basically had it on Saturday, too. So we had two pretty perfect days.
It was. Except, I will say, yes, 60 is better if you're going to be active and running around. But if you want to get a little color on your skin, little kiss, little like you're kissing your sister, little kiss on the skin.
What?
It's a little kiss on the skin from the sun. Yesterday was perfect.
You can have your 80. I love that 60.
I love
60. It's beautiful. It's a little crisp, just a little bit. You know, that kisses
little,
you in the
a
face.
A little nipply.
Yeah, it's not bad. All right, 314-436-7900 to join the show. Voice messages on the Odyssey app. You know how to do that by now, or you should. That is a free app where you can listen to the show. We're also streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, and we're on Twitter. Follow us there and watch us. It is at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Well, people are concerned about the possibility of a looming recession. Well, today the White House has said, don't worry about it. Not going to happen.
Well, that is reassuring.
Kevin Hassett says 100% will not happen.
That's reassuring. Rory McIlroy wins the Masters, becomes one of only six golfers to claim a Grand Slam. I think the first one in 25 years since Tiger Woods. Riveting, thrilling, exhilarating Masters tournament. I was yelling at the TV, jumping up and down. We are going to chat with Dan Reardon, KMOX golf reporter. He was at Augusta.
And the Cardinals, they got an important series win, one they definitely needed against a very good Phillies team. They took two of three against them, including a shutout yesterday. City played and lost. Battlehawks played and lost. And that's really what the weekend was all about here. We had some pretty great weather, and we had all kinds of sporting events happening in St. Louis. Cardinals were here. Mm-hmm. Like I said, they took two of three. City played yesterday evening, and they took the loss to Columbus. And the Battlehawks had their home opener. Yesterday was a busy day in St. Louis sports-wise.
It was a busy day, and we do want to hear from you. Did you partake? Did you partake in any of the St. Louis-y activities? And if so, were you more St. Louis-y than our producer, Matt Pajeski?
I went to both the Battlehawks game and the City SC game.
And tonight?
Tonight is the Cardinals game.
And tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow is the Blues game.
This guy's
so far,
Mr. St. This is like Tom Ackerman over here.
Here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing you're a mush.
Yeah.
Because you lost both games you went to yesterday.
Yeah. So I actually thought, before going into the first game, like, wow, I've got four games to go to this week. How special would it be if I could see four winners? And so far, I'm 0-2. So if you're a local sporting team, you do not want me in your arena or venue this week.
Hello, Cardinals.
Well, this is bad for the Blues because their playoff chances could come down to the last game of the season. So we might have to kill Matt before the game.
I could just not go. You don't have to kill me.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
What if our only option was to just kill him? We can't, like...
How bad do you want to go to the playoffs?
Yeah, man. Don't ruin this for us.
That's pretty St. Louis-y, though, Matt.
Yeah. Yesterday was a great day to be outside at Energizer Park. I mean, it was perfect weather for a soccer game. Battlehawks were fun. I mean, but despite two losses, it's a good time no matter where you're at.
The good news is City scored.
They did.
They haven't been scoring a lot since March 15th.
And I think they got screwed out of a goal yesterday. That should have ended in a tie.
Oh, I wish it had, because we'd be drinking Bud Light right now.
Yeah. It should have been a 2-2 tie yesterday.
Yeah.
But they got screwed out of that.
I do feel like they've tied less since we started the whole ties are un-American campaign. I haven't had a Bud Light in, a month? 2 months? When was the last time they tied?
I don't know. It must have been
over
2 months. Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is, I was thinking about this because Matt went to both the games. He's going to go to two more here over the next couple of days. I wonder if people who are listening have a feeling, not that they control the outcome of games they go to, but if they have superstitions about it, like if you're watching a game or if you go to games and you say, every time I go, they lose, so I'm not going to go, because I do know people like that. I know people who do not like going to sporting events because they think every time they go, the team they like loses, which is clearly nonsense. It's just not true. You don't have any effect on the team unless you show up to the ballpark and there are a lot of people at the ballpark. Mm-hmm. I think that does help out teams, right? When you are playing in front of a packed house.
That's the home field advantage.
That's exactly what it is.
When you've got, in hockey, it's the sixth man.
And in football, it's the 12th man.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, we do want to hear from you, 314-436-7900. I have a very niche question. Is there anyone out there who has hiked in Rockwood Reservation, specifically on the Green Rock Trail? And is there, right next to a sign, about halfway along the Green Rock Trail, it's a 10-mile one way, about halfway through, there's a sign that said, healthy woods means healthy animal life, healthy wildlife. Is there a fake black rat snake sticking out of a tree, or is that a real black rat snake? Because here's what happened. I was about halfway on that trail. I was hike running. Beautiful day in Rockwood Reservation. And, sometimes you have to pee-pee. And so I went for a run, and I was running. I was deep in the woods, and there was a tree. And I thought, okay, you know what? This is where, no harm, no foul. I'm just going to run over to the tree. And right right as I get up to the tree, there is a black rat snake with his head like 2 feet out of the tree. And I back up because it totally takes me off guard and didn't have to go to the bathroom anymore, obviously. And I'm looking at this snake, but he's not moving. And I back up and I back up and he never moves. And now I'm wondering, do you think it was a fake snake? Because it happened to be right next to the sign that said a healthy woods means healthy wildlife. And I thought, well, maybe that's the conservation area, how they do those things where they have the fake animal next to the sign. Or was that a real black rat snake? This is so niche. I just need someone to tell me.
Well, I'm glad we're going to get to the bottom of this, I hope. This one place on a trail that nobody's ever been to?
Yes,
we should talk about this.
Because, no, but, like, did I almost squat next to a snake?
You might have.
That's what I want to know. Wouldn't you want to know?
Snakes everywhere.
I know, but wouldn't you want to know? What if you stepped up to a tree and you were about to sit down because you're tired and you turn and there is 2 feet of a snake?
Well, I suppose I'd like to know before.
Yeah, there's 2 feet of a snake sticking out a hole in a tree.
Okay.
He didn't move, and that's why I don't know if he was like, stay still.
Okay.
Anyway, Rockwood Reservation, if anyone at the conservation department's listening, we have a vast audience.
Yeah.
I would think that somebody who knows the answer to this is listening.
Yeah, I do think we should get to the bottom of this. Yeah.
It almost got to the bottom of me. That's why.
Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, please, somebody help Amy in her very specific niche problem that nobody else has. So if you have an answer
that
for this.
One snake in that one tree.
314-436-7900, because we have to get to the bottom of it. Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji, we promised the show's not going to suck today. There's plenty to do. We'll talk to Dan Reardon,
yep,
who was at the Masters, and he'll talk to us about Rory's big win. Mm. Brad Young, legal analyst, will join the show, as I think there's some concern, or at least there's a lot of interest in immigrants who are in the country and having their social media platforms monitored to determine whether or not they can be deported. We've got Matt Pauly on the show, Chris Saliza, the political commentator. We got a lot coming up today.
Yeah.
We hope that you will stick around with us until 12 o'clock. Gas House Gang happens at noon. Tom Ackerman and me, John Rooney, joins the show. Again, that's from 12 to 1 every Monday through Friday on KMOX.
Why did it have to?
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Baseball's all about the games.
And the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Be snakes.
Nobody likes snakes.
Well, some people do. Yeah.
Very odd. I had a roommate who had a snake. It is a Chris and Amy show, 104.1 FM KMOX. We have Dan, who is called in. Dan's in St. Louis, joins the show. How's it going, Dan?
Doing well. Doing well. Amy?
Yep.
What time of the day did you see the snake?
2 p.m.
So it was warm?
Yep.
He was active. But remember, a snake's number one defense is its color. And like a lot of wild animals, the way to hide is to not move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can walk right by a rabbit. If you don't stop, he'll let you go by. If you stop, he'll run. Same way with the snake. He was trying to hide by not moving.
I think he was. Yeah. And that the black rat snake, if I'm right, black on top, white on the bottom. And he was totally in freeze mode, which resonates with me because there's fight or flight or freeze. I'm freeze.
I have no idea. I know what a cobra looks like, and that's about it. Well, I know what a cobra looks like.
Because of the flat face.
Yeah, and they stand up straight.
Yeah.
The hood.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Ooh. And then the rattler.
Yeah, the rattler. Well, that has a rattle on it.
What a rattlesnake looks like.
You know what the back of a rattlesnake looks like.
Definitely.
The front, I don't know that I could tell.
No.
Thank you for the call. I think he was hiding.
I think I could pick out a cotton mouth. I think I would know what that
really?
Looks like. Yeah.
I don't even know what color. Are they like rattlesnakes? Brownie? Like brown
well, you,
and
you know
black
by the mouth and the head, when they open their mouth, it looks like cotton in there. It's what they're called, cotton
really?
Mouths. Yeah.
Huh. I know the brown.
And they're very dangerous. You don't want to be near them.
Brownish, blackish, kind of like, I don't know.
So we were talking just a moment ago about, you know, our guy Pajeski going to all of the games yesterday. And they lose everyone that he goes to. And he's going to go to the Cardinals game tonight. Hopefully he doesn't cause them to lose. Or the Blues game tomorrow. He could force them to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking about that and how there are people who just, they have these superstitions that if they go to games, they feel like they have to wear a certain jacket or a certain shirt, or they have to sit in a particular place. Or even if they're watching at home, they do goofy stuff like that. And I think at this point, it sounds like the Cardinals don't really care what shirt or what jacket or what socks you're wearing. They just kind of want you to come to the ballpark. And this is what Wilson Contreras had to say over the weekend.
I mean, we play for them. I don't know why they're not here. I mean, they have their reason. I'm not saying not, but you guys know that we play for you guys and we need you guys. But you guys give us energy. And one thing that I'm going to say is that don't stop believing in this team. Because we have everything in this clubhouse that I'm going to say because I feel like it. We have everything in this clubhouse to compete. And the energy that we've been showing from day one until now is amazing.
Okay. So we have talked about Cardinals attendance so mm-hmm. far this year. And twice they have broken a record and then broken it again for the lowest attendance ever at this stadium. And that was, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So it's a cause for concern, I think, for the team that people are not coming out. I don't blame people. I don't blame fans
mm-hmm.
for not showing up to the ballpark if they don't want to spend the money, if they don't have the money, if they feel like, I don't know if this team is very good, so I'm not going to pay for it. I don't blame a fan for how they spend their money or choose not to spend it. And so you do have a player, and this is the flip side. You have a player who is saying, though I don't think he's criticizing anybody when he does it, he's saying, hey, come watch us. It does help. It helps when we have people in the ballpark. I went on Friday night. The paid attendance was around 32,000, which is still, that's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But there were quite a few unused tickets. There were a lot of people there, don't get me wrong. It's just that you could tell that it was sort of sparse, just looking in the crowd. A lot of empty seats. And I get where the players are coming from. And I would guarantee you that most of them are thinking about it. They notice it.
Yeah.
They notice that people are not there the way Cardinals fans typically show up to ball games. So I know this sort of, I'm not going to say it caused any controversy, but I think it was one of those comments that is noticeable, right? When you hear a player mm-hmm. say, hey, come out and watch us. When's the last time you've heard a Cardinal anything?
Right.
A player or a coach, a manager, whatever, say, hey, we would love for you to come. Like, I worked for a baseball team where they were constantly begging people to show up, right? This is different.
Well, don't you think that with Cardinals fans, it's the perception and expectation for the team is going to lag a little bit behind this year because probably messaging hasn't been great as far as the quality of product that's going to be on the field. I mean, I think it's fair to say the messaging is maybe a little confusing. We're kind of transitioning, but we'll be somewhat competitive. Obviously, last year was a disappointment. And so I think the attendance is reflecting perception and expectation, and it might take a little while. It's going to lag behind the performance. If the Cardinals start really winning, like, wow, they're in it. They're playing competitive baseball. Might take a few games, a handful of games, maybe a handful of series before the fans really start showing up the way Cardinals fans usually do. Because I do think the Cardinals' performance has knocked fans down a bit in a way that they're not used to. Because we are, you could say we're used to it, you could say we're spoiled, whatever you want to say, we're used to this team being competitive, being World Series contenders, making the playoffs. This has been an unusual handful of years.
You use the right word. It's lag. I think when it comes to this, it does take time. Mm-hmm. People aren't going to start showing up because of one series. Oh, wow, you beat the Phillies. Now mm-hmm. we're going to come out to the ballpark. That's not really how it works. Sometimes it'll take a couple of months. It might take all season, you know, that you have to keep winning in order for people to believe in you.
And they were coming off of a tough series against the Red Sox, losing, what, five of six or six in a row, whatever
they
it was.
They lost six of seven.
Yeah.
You're playing, you have a bad series against the Angels and against the Pirates. And when you see that stuff and you're a fan, you think, oh, okay, well, maybe I'm not going to buy tickets after all. And again, I don't blame anybody for choosing not to, but there is another side to this, and that is the players themselves. See, they're not thinking about what the front office is thinking mm-hmm. about. So if the front office is saying, hey, this is a transitional year for us, we're not really expecting to win. We know it can happen, but, you know, our focus is on trying to prepare ourselves for the future. If you're a player in the clubhouse, that's not how you are thinking. Mm-hmm. Every night you go out there and you think, we're trying to win, mm-hmm. right? If you're a coaching staff, you're thinking, we're trying to win because we're out here.
And if you're not thinking that, you've got bigger problems.
Oh, yeah.
You've got
totally.
Huge problems if you're not thinking that.
Let's go to Bob in St. Charles with us on KMOX. Hello, Bob.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Hey, I don't have, or we don't have a particular feeling one way or the other about what we have to wear. No superstitions, but we did while the Rams were in town go to 12 out of town games. East Coast, West Coast, Dallas, Green Bay.
Wow.
And to watch the Rams, and they lost every single game.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, you're a mush, too.
Oh, no, Bob.
Bob's a mush.
That's so sad because Bob put in the effort.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, Bob, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Bob. And you know, I'm sorry that happened to you, but also I'm sorry to the Rams. Have you ever considered that maybe you're part of the reason the Rams left?
No, don't say.
Well, I hope they
don't.
I did like them at the time.
Thank you, Bob.
Wow, 12. I've never been to 12 away games for any team. You don't count. You worked for the White Sox.
Yeah. But Matt Pajeski's well on his way.
He is.
So he's our...
Sorry in advance, everybody. If you've got tickets tonight, maybe try to sell them to somebody else.
He's a mush.
He's not the KOD.
Mush Pajeski.
So you do know I've never heard the phrase mush. So when
either.
You texted mush last night, I read it as mush, and I didn't understand,
me
but
neither.
I didn't text to clarify.
Oh.
You weren't super responsive yesterday. So mush means that you make your team lose?
Yeah, it's really sort of a gambling term. It's like your bad luck. You're so.
Maybe we need a nickname for Matt, because like I said, remember Mike Greenberg. His pick was always the KOD. He was the kiss of death, which is a famous, obviously. It's a phrase. But with Matt, should we call him Mush Pajeski?
Let's see what happens tonight. Let's see what happens tonight. If the Cardinals lose to the Astros,
I think we should overreact right now.
So they play tonight. First pitch tonight from Busch Stadium is at 6:45.
Like Mush Stadium.
Mush Stadium. Well, it will be if Matt's there.
I know.
Dude.
He's going to be there.
So maybe people do need to come to the ballpark tonight to sort of counteract whatever bad mojo this guy is.
Bad news. I'm bringing three other Pajeskis with me, though.
We need a lot of people to show up.
Yeah. This is not good.
This is really bad.
Cardinals and Astros tonight, 6:45. First pitch pregame show is at 5:50. When we come back, how about Rory McIlroy over the weekend? A win at the Masters, a grand slam for him. Dan Reardon is our golf reporter, and he joins us next.
The long journey is over. McIlroy has his masterpiece.
Highlight courtesy of CBS.
CBS.
You have to be a little bit, have more decorum. Be a little calmer. Masters, after all.
That's
you know,
right.
In the Masters with the broadcasters, they have plenty of rules. They don't want the discussion to be colloquial. They want it to sound like you chatting with your prim and proper grandma on the porch. Dan Reardon, KMOX golf reporter, joins us now. Would you say that's correct, Dan?
Absolutely, it is. I mean, there's been a couple of announcers in the history of the tournament who have lost their position at CBS because the Masters were no longer going to invite them back because their remarks didn't suit the tournament.
Yeah.
They
can't say fan. They can't call them fan because that's fanatics, which is too crazy. They can't use driving range. They have to say, what is it, the practice facility? They're not allowed to say driving range.
And they're not spectators, they're patrons.
But that's right.
I mean, they truly treat them like patrons, so that's probably justified.
Yeah.
But yeah, those kinds of traditions, I think, are something we should cherish. Think of them in any other light. And I have to tell you right up the top that people need to know that now that the phenomenon of Rory McIlroy has exploded nationally,
You
need to know that next August, PGA Tour and Rory McIlroy will be here in St. Louis at the BMW Championship in late August. So that's something for us to look forward to.
Wow, that's incredible. Dan, I was riveted. I was captivated. I was yelling at the TV. I was jumping up and down. This was one of the best, not just one of the best Masters, but one of the best sporting events, finishes to a sporting event that I've ever seen. There was so much emotion with Rory McIlroy taking the lead, losing the lead, but eagle, double bogey, back and forth. It was insane.
You know, and give me a moment to sort of set the perspective on that. This was a unique, out of 89 Masters, I can tell you this was unique. And here's why it's unique. The first thing you need to know about the Masters is the same people are there every year. That's not the World Series. That's not the Super Bowl. The same people. If there were 40,000 people there yesterday, at least 30,000 have been going to the Masters for probably decades. So as we watch Rory McIlroy drop to his knees after that putt goes in, Rory said, there was no joy in that moment. There was relief. Well, I could tell you, for those 30,000 who have been on this journey with Rory for all these years, the feeling was the same, and that includes me. It was, you know, I will admit, I briefly said a prayer and said thank you, because we've been waiting for this. We've been expecting this, and we have experienced all the kinds of negative things that Rory has encountered over all these years at the Masters. And then the second thing I want to add to that is, so in 1986, I was at my first Master. It was Sunday, April 13th, and Jack Nicklaus won his sixth green jacket. And the galleries were amazing in the way that they responded to him. 11 years later, I was there again, and Tiger Woods in 1997 on April 13th, Sunday, April 13th, wins the Masters. And we were in awe of what we saw. And then yesterday when Rory wins, I'm going to tell you, I made a point to be out on the golf course, to be around the galleries, be around the patrons. And the reaction was similar to Nicklaus. This was a shared experience. There were more tears, not of joy, of relief that this whole long journey had come to a conclusion and it had a happy ending.
Yeah, one of my friends texted me yesterday and he said, he said, I'll admit I cried a little when he won. And I said, really? But I guess if he follows golf closely and for this particular player's journey, this has been it's been a long, painful one for him. And then now to become, what, the sixth golfer ever to have a career Grand Slam, that's really something special to have done at 35.
I don't know if this will make sense to you. And I know, Andy, you're not a golfer. I don't know if this will make sense, but golf has a way of, for everybody who plays the game, whether it's Rory or the guy going out to play this afternoon, golf has a way of undressing you in public. Mm-hmm. You're always embarrassed by the game, okay? Well, Rory had to experience that embarrassment. And on the greatest day, you know, he said yesterday, he was asked about it. You know, Nicklaus, Player, Woods, everybody has said for years, Rory's going to win this championship this year. Rory's going to win this championship. He said, you know, I'm flattered by that, but I wish they had never said that. He said, because that's really hard to carry out onto the golf course. So I'm trying to give you this notion of, you know, when Scotty won last year, great performance. And as I said, with Tiger, we were in awe. Yesterday, we were trying to hug him more than anything else.
No, I totally feel that because I joke that I'm in the exact opposite sport. Like, running is all effort-based. I hate to say there's no skill in marathoning, but it's basically if you have pressure, you are running, you are trying your best, it's effort, you can run yourself into the ground. With golf, it's all about, like, enormous restraint and focus while you are carrying the weight of the world. And I could feel that weight on Rory McIlroy. I can't imagine trying to make a 3-foot putt, a 2-foot putt, with the weight of those 11 years, right, waiting to finish this Grand Slam, of his entire career trying to win the Masters, the whole world, the expectations that have been on him since he was a little boy, and what he had to do. It wasn't effort-based in the sense of you're pushing yourself to the max. It's about restraint and focus and precision, and it feels absolutely impossible to me.
Although I think, Amy, for you as a runner, you share this experience that Rory had going to the first tee. You have conversations in your head all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming those conversations take place with you as a runner. Rory admitted he was exceedingly nervous going into yesterday's round, again, because of the expectations. And I had said to Tom on the air Sunday morning, this was going to be, regardless of how it turned out, this was going to be the single most important round of golf he will play in his entire lifetime. And he went through that back nine twice thinking it's happening again. Yeah. And so that the ride that he took, it, like I said, it was just very different. It doesn't have to be golf to be different, but it suits well that golf environment.
Dan, what do you make of the resilience of Rory McIlroy to become the first person to win the Masters with 4 double bogeys?
A classic Rory. Rory is great, and Rory is an enigma. He will thrill you, and he will break your heart. You know, I'm not trying to talk about myself, but I was there at Congressional when he was like 21 years old and won the U.S. Open. This is a guy with long, curly hair who's just out of his teenage years, and he's just a boy, and he ran away from the field and was like, wow, what's this going to be, you know? Well, now we see the mature version. He was asked about that. He said, what would you say to that 21-year-old back in 2011, I believe it was, at Congressional? He said, I tell him he probably needs to grow up. It's unique to him, you know. I think the Irish, in their own way, have a sort of lovable nature to them. And Rory has led his life without much in the way of scandal. There is briefly a suggestion that he and his wife are divorcing, but you saw that's no longer the case. He and his daughter were on that green getting those pictures taken. So, like I said, it's just unique to that personality in that moment, in that setting, that we had this whole thing come together. And I'm sure the reaction around the country is the same one you and I are talking about.
Talking with our golf insider, Dan Reardon, here on KMOX. So you mentioned, you know, you were there yesterday, being there for Tiger, being there for Jack Nicklaus back in the mid-80s. How does this one compare to those? I know there's probably going to be a little, you know, recency bias in this one because it just happened yesterday. But if you try to take a 30,000-foot view, what was this one like compared to all of those?
You know, I started to say from a golf perspective, the kind of roller coaster ride that Amy and everybody was on yesterday suggested it was not the greatest golf performance we've ever seen. Nicklaus's win when he came from behind, you know, Nicklaus didn't even make it onto television on Sunday until he got to the 11th hole. That's how far out of it he was. So from a golf perspective, this will be a good but not great performance. Tiger in 97 will never be matched. He shot five over on his first nine and finished 17 under, I believe, for the championship and ran away by a dozen shots. From an emotional standpoint, they always say the Nicklaus Masters was the greatest Masters ever because it had the golf and it had the emotion. From an emotional standpoint, I don't think there has ever been a Masters, and I find it hard to believe that there ever will be a Masters. You have to remember, this is a 17-year journey that has a happy ending. You know, I compared it this morning when I did my report. I said I was reminded of Moby Dick, and this was Ahab chasing the white whale, and he finally caught him.
It really was amazing, Dan. And I will say the only little note I had from yesterday that I felt a tiny bit sad, and I know it's small, but the only sad thing was that I think Justin Rose is really likable. And good on him. Like, I know a runner-up coming in second is still great, and I was so thrilled for Rory, but I also really like Justin Rose.
And he's lost two playoffs and finished second or third time in the same tournament. But when he came in afterwards, you know, disappointed, yes, but he was so proud of the way. He had 10 birdies in his round yesterday. Nobody considered him one of the players who could put on a challenge to Rory at the time. So Justin walks away from there very, very pleased, disappointed in the out. And he's friends with Rory from the Ryder Cup, but very pleased with his performance. So, yeah, I felt that same thing. Somebody's going to be disappointed. And DeChambeau would probably fall into that same category. And somebody's going to celebrate. But Justin has gotten a lot out of it. And we do this again next month at the PGA Championship in Charlotte.
Dan, I'm sure that this is a question you have considered and you've probably been asked 100 times before. But the way that the whole Tiger Woods thing was, that it was sort of an event that people who really weren't even golf fans would pay attention to what he was doing. How long do you think it'll be before there's another one like that? Before there's somebody in golf that captivates people who may not even necessarily like the sport all that much?
Certainly not in my lifetime, Chris. You know, the analogy I draw of Tiger is, and it's not a golf analogy, Tiger is the Beatles. So anybody who grew up with the Beatles says, well, when's that going to happen again? Well, it's not going to happen again. There's only one time you have the Beatles. Maybe you say it's Elvis going back forever. I don't know who it would be. And today, I don't think it's Taylor Swift, but I mean, maybe he'll do that. I just don't see it happening again. And as I said, in Tiger's case, it's not so much the personality, although when he won in 2019, after all the things that had gone on, he had a little bit of that. In Tiger's case, it is pure talent, the display of ability that we've never seen in the game and may never see again. And I'm not saying he's the best golfer of all time. I think Nicklaus is probably that. But for 10 years, when we expected Tiger to win, he always won. I mean, it was just that simple.
Tiger was must-see television, and I grew up with that, watching him. And I will say, after he really stopped playing or stopped being the Tiger that we know, I lost interest for a long time. I don't know why. I think, like you said, you're kind of spoiled watching Tiger all the time. The Netflix show Full Swing, which is like Drive to Survive for golf, it it really got me back into golf, Dan, and it was fun to have an emotional attachment to all the players. And then after what happened this past weekend, I just feel hooked.
And Amy, that's why I say next, we've got the show coming next year. Tiger won't be in the field because you have to qualify for that event. But we'll have Scottie Scheffler there. We'll have Rory McIlroy there. We'll have Justin Rose there. They're all going to be on display at St. Louis. And I know Tom Ackerman has talked about how he was treated by Rory when he was here back in 2019, I guess it was, for the PGA Championship. It's something to really look forward to. And thanks to the people at Belrive for giving us that to look forward to.
Dan Reardon, appreciate it as always. Thank you for your time today.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Dan is KMOX's golf insider visiting with us today after Rory McIlroy has won the Masters and is now a Grand Slam winner. Good for him.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Hey, Ranj.
Yeah.
Ranj, did you see this? I guess it's illegal, but it sounds like a great idea. So this is from a Wall Street Journal, a Wall Street Journal story. So there's a professional gambler who earned the nickname the Joker because of these elaborate money-making schemes, but he found a way to guarantee $57.8 million in winnings from the Texas Lottery in 2023. So what he did, he's called the Joker. The Joker bankrolled a group led by former London banker Bernard Marentelli to buy 26 million lottery tickets. Those 26 million lottery tickets would cover 99.3% of all number combinations. He bought them at $1 a piece, and it guaranteed a $95 million jackpot. So they did win. And after all of their expenses, they pocketed $57.8 million.
What? Wait, where did this happen?
This happened in Texas. This guy, it's a big story in the Wall Street Journal. I don't know how to say his name, but it's a lot of consonants together. But they call him the Joker. That's his nickname. So he basically got an angel investor group, like a startup, and said, we're going to put all of our money together. We're going to buy 26 million individual lottery tickets that will cover 99.3% of number combinations, right? A dollar a ticket. It guaranteed a $95 million jackpot if they won. They did win because they had a 99.3% chance of winning. And they, after all of their expenses, they got $57.8 million. One lottery player filed a lawsuit because he said that's not fair. And Governor Greg Abbott of Texas is ordering an investigation, saying this can't be legal. It's kind of a great idea.
So what did this guy do when he won? Did he burn half of it?
Burn half of it?
Well, he said he's calling himself the Joker.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what the Joker did. Spoiler alert.
Never saw the movie. Now it's ruined. I was going to watch
it
tonight.
You haven't seen the movie that came out in 2008?
No. He burned a half of his money?
Yeah. He had it in a literal giant pile, and he just burned it with gasoline and threw a cigar on it.
Well, that's frustrating.
Right?
I would be so
And he made the other guy who was in on it with him, you know, to steal the money. He made him watch.
Ugh.
It was awful.
I'd be so frustrated. I'd be like, Joker, that is too much.
So there are questions about whether or not the government can monitor an immigrant's social media accounts and then determine whether or not that person can be deported. It's an interesting legal situation, and there's nobody better to talk about it than our guy, Brad Young. He is the legal analyst for KMOX, and he joins us next.